Welcome back to the Deep Dive, where we take a stack of information and unearth those surprising facts and, you know, those aha moments that make you truly well-informed. Today, we're embarking on a deep dive into the very first steps of building anything complex, especially in the world of software. You know, whether it's designing a skyscraper, launching a new product line, or developing the next big app, that initial planning stage, it's absolutely crucial. But what happens if that blueprint is, well, fuzzy? What if you build a magnificent bridge to nowhere, or maybe an app that solves completely the wrong problem? Our sources make it really clear, skipping or rushing this foundational phase is pretty much a direct path to chaos.
That's exactly right. Today, our mission is to sort of illuminate why that initial phase is so vital. We're unpacking the foundational elements of software problem analysis. We're talking about understanding the purpose, defining the scope, and setting clear boundaries. And these aren't just, you know, technical terms. They're the bedrock that ensures a project stays on track, avoids those costly detours, and actually delivers what's needed.
Okay, let's unpack this then. We've got some fascinating source material that lays out the blueprint for how the pros tackle this. So let's get started on understanding how these big projects get built, piece by well-defined piece, and why that first piece is, well, arguably the most important one. So before we really zero in on purpose, scope, and boundaries, maybe let's zoom out a bit. Our sources talk about the larger software development process. It's definitely not just about coding and then poof, magically having a finished product, is it?
Oh, absolutely not. No, think of it more like a multi-stage journey, often iterative, meaning you might loop back. You've got analysis, then design, implementation, testing, evaluation, and finally maintenance. Each stage really builds on the last one. So if you find a flaw at one point, you often have to circle back. But the beauty of this iterative approach is it allows for refinement, for learning as you go. But that initial analysis stage, that's where the stakes are highest.
Yeah, and I picked up something truly eye-opening from our sources about getting things right at the very beginning. There's a statistic that just hammers this home.
It is a crucial nugget of knowledge, yeah. And frankly, it's a bit astonishing when you first hear it. Our sources emphasize that a problem, like a defect, or even just a misunderstanding found early on, say, during requirement specification, it is dramatically cheaper to fix than that same issue found later, like during coding, or worse, after it's out there. Mm. We're talking by a factor of like 50 to 200 times.
Wow, 50 to 200.
Yeah. Imagine finding a fundamental flaw in a building's foundation after the roof is already on. That's the kind of cost, the kind of rework we're trying to avoid in software. So this really highlights why that analysis stage is just so incredibly critical.
It's wild. Seriously. It really underscores why we're focusing on this initial phase today. Now, our sources also briefly touch on agile development. Seems like everyone's doing agile these days. How does that fit into this bigger picture, especially with what you just said about those early error costs?
Right. Agile. It's really an evolution of those iterative methods. It emphasizes flexibility, continuous delivery, and really close collaboration, often with the client. It basically acknowledges that requirements can change, they can evolve, and it encourages rapid, flexible responses to that change. But here's the nuance, right? Even with Agile, having a clear initial understanding of the project's essence, its core purpose, and, you know, its initial boundaries that remains paramount, Agile thrives on short, focused cycles, sure. But if you don't even know what you're generally building at a high level, even the most flexible process is going to struggle. Think of it maybe as needing a minimum viable understanding rather than a complete static sit-in-stone understanding.
Okay, that makes sense. So the analysis stage is where you figure out exactly what the software needs to do. Not necessarily how yet, but the what. What's the main tangible outcome of this crucial stage? Like, what do you actually walk away with?
The primary outcome is typically something called a software specification document. You might see it abbreviated as SSD. Our sources describe this as a precise, unambiguous description of what the software will accomplish. It's really detailed. It's so fundamental, actually, so meticulously detailed that it often forms the basis of a legal contract between the client and the software company.
Whoa, hang on. A legal contract.
Yeah.
Wow, that really puts the importance of getting this right into perspective. It's not just some nice-to-have document.
Exactly. It's foundational. It's a binding agreement. If the software doesn't deliver what's in that document, well, there could be serious consequences. It's not just a wish list.
Okay. So what are the core components then? What makes up this detailed analysis, this blueprint?
The sources break it down into four key areas. Each one plays a vital role in painting that complete picture of what you're trying to build. You've got the purpose of the software, the scope of the software, the boundaries, and the functional requirements. Think of them as answering the fundamental questions. Why are we building this? What exactly is included? What's explicitly not included? And, well, how will it actually work?
Right. Let's start with purpose. This sounds like the big why, doesn't it? The mission statement for the project. What does that entail for software?
Exactly. Purpose is the why. The purpose of the software is a general but really clear description of what the program is required to do. It outlines the main steps, maybe key validations, calculations, or decisions it needs to make. It's the overarching problem the software is solving, right? Mm-hmm. Or the core benefit it delivers. It needs to be accurate, even if it's not super detailed at this point, because it's the foundation everything else rests on. Without a crystal clear why, teams often end up building, you know, beautiful solutions, but to the wrong problem.
Right, like commissioning a house without knowing if it's for a family or a rental or an office, you'd get something potentially useless.
Precisely. That's a great analogy.
Can you give us an example from our sources?
Yeah.
And maybe touch on the pitfalls if this purpose isn't clear.
Sure. Take the Deciding Grades program that's mentioned in the booklet we looked at. Its purpose is stated really clearly: to take five pupil names, their assignment mark, 0-50, integer, and their exam mark, 0-110, integer, then calculate, store, and display their grade.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's general, but it's crystal clear about the core goal. Now, imagine if the purpose was just vague, like create a grading system.
Yeah, that's broad.
Super broad. You could end up with a system that tracks attendance, manages seating charts, maybe even generates full report cards, none of which might have been the original unstated need. A vague purpose, it almost always leads to feature creep. And projects that never truly meet expectations because, well, those expectations were never clearly defined to begin with.
That makes perfect sense. Okay, so if purpose is the why, then scope and boundaries must define the what. They sound a bit similar, though. How do we distinguish them effectively?
They are definitely two sides of the same coin, yeah. They both clarify the extent of the project, but from slightly different angles. Scope clarifies what the project must cover. Think of it as the full extent of the work and, crucially, the deliverables. It lists all the tangible things the developer will actually hand over, like detailed design documents, the finished program itself, the test plan, evaluation reports, things like that. It also usually includes constraints like time limits or maybe specific resources that will be used.
Okay, so for our Deciding Grades program example, what would be specifically in its scope?
Right. For that program, the scope includes creating a modular program. That means it's designed in distinct, kind of reusable parts. The deliverables listed include a detailed program structure, a design for the user interface, a comprehensive test plan, the working program itself, obviously, the results from testing, and a final evaluation report. And importantly, a time scale of 4 hours is explicitly mentioned. That's part of the scope. It sets the expectation for what gets delivered and by when.
Gotcha. And what happens when scope isn't tightly managed? I've definitely heard the term scope creep thrown around, and it never sounds like a good thing.
Oh, scope creep. Yeah, it's like the silent killer of projects. It really is. It happens when these little, often unapproved additions or changes start incrementally expanding the project's requirements. It goes beyond what was initially agreed in the scope, often without adjusting the time or the budget or the resources needed.
Oh.
It's like trying to bake a simple cake, but you keep adding extra layers and fancy decorations and maybe some different fillings. You end up with a total mess, or at least something completely different, and you're probably way past your deadline. Our sources really highlight that unchecked scope creep. It's a leading cause of project failures, budget overruns, and honestly just team burnout.
Wow.
So defining scope isn't just some exercise. It's a discipline you have to maintain.
Right. Discipline. Okay. So that's scope. What about boundaries then?
So boundaries define the limits. They spell out what is in the project and, just as crucially, what is not in the project. This really helps clarify any assumptions and sets clear expectations about what the system will not do or where its functionality just stops. Boundaries are basically your guardrails. Without them, your project might just veer off into unexpected and often pretty costly territory.
I see. Guardrails. So for the Deciding Grades program, what are some of its clear boundaries?
Okay, so our source states specific boundaries for that program. For instance, it's explicitly limited to using a fixed loop to ask for five pupil names and their marks.
Only five?
Only five, exactly. That means it won't handle, say, 100 pupils or allow a variable number of inputs. That's a boundary. The marks themselves are validated as an integer between 0 and 50 sty for assignments and 0 to 110 for exams. Those are strict data validation boundaries. It also specifies the exact percentage cutoffs for grades, like 75A. These aren't suggestions. They're strict limitations on how the program works and the data it expects. It prevents it from needing to handle weird, out-of-range inputs or interpret grades differently.
And our sources also had another good example for boundaries, didn't they? Something about a BMI app.
Yes, exactly. For a hypothetical BMI app, a boundary could be stated like, the program should not work with children and adolescents 19 and under. This explicitly excludes a whole complex demographic group that would need very different BMI calculations and health considerations.
Right, that makes sense.
Without putting that boundary in place, a developer might unknowingly build a system that gives bad information, maybe even harms users by applying adult metrics to kids. Clearly defining these exclusions prevents wasted effort, misaligned expectations, and potentially even legal liabilities down the line.
This brings up an important question, though, because our sources explicitly mention something. Scope of the software is not to be confused with scope of a variable. For listeners who might have some programming background, that distinction seems pretty important to clarify. Can you elaborate on that just briefly?
Absolutely. Yeah, this is a key point to avoid confusion, especially if you've done some coding. The scope of the software, which is what we're discussing now, that defines the overall project's reach, its deliverables, its limitations, the big picture. The scope of a variable, on the other hand, that's a term from programming. It refers to the visibility or lifespan of a piece of data within the code itself. Like, can a variable be accessed globally by any part of the program or only locally inside one specific function or procedure?
Ah, okay. Totally different things.
Totally different concepts, yeah. Even though they both use the word scope. It's like the difference between the scope of a huge architectural project versus the scope of the wiring diagram for just one light switch inside it.
Got it. Okay, finally, we have functional requirements. This sounds like where we get into the really granular details, the nuts and bolts of what the software will actually do.
Precisely. If purpose, scope, and boundaries are like drawing the outline map of a country, then functional requirements are like meticulously filling in all the key landmarks, the roads, the cities on that map. They describe the specific features and functions that must be delivered by the system, usually in terms of inputs, processes, and outputs. It's the concrete, verifiable list of what the product must accomplish when a user interacts with it or when certain data gets processed.
Okay, so back to our trusty Deciding Grades program example one last time. What are its functional requirements in detail?
All right. For inputs, it explicitly requires pupil name, probably a string of text, then assignment mark, 050, integer, and exam mark, 0110, integer. Very specific data types and ranges. The processes involved are also listed specifically. Validate assignment mark to make sure it's in that 050 range. Validate exam mark for its 0110 range. Then calculate percentage, probably using a defined formula, and select grade based on those percentage cutoffs we mentioned earlier, and the outputs, just as precise, pupil names, and their corresponding calculated grades. Notice how specific each of those points is. This level of detail ensures everyone, the developer, the client, the testers, everyone knows exactly what the system is supposed to do and how its core features should behave.
Yeah, definitely. If any of those are missing or vague, I can see how the end product might not work as expected, leads to rework.
Exactly. Costly rework, usually.
Wow, okay. That was a truly insightful deep dive into the analysis stage of software development. It's really fascinating how much thought goes into defining a problem before a single line of code gets written. From understanding the big purpose, to mapping out the scope, setting clear boundaries, and detailing every single functional requirement, it really is all about making sure everyone's on the same page. And crucially, avoiding those incredibly expensive late-stage fixes you talked about.
And, you know, it's not just for software development. If we kind of connect this to the bigger picture, you can apply these same principles to almost any project or goal in your life, honestly. Whether it's planning a complex trip, launching some community initiative, or even just redesigning your personal website. Defining your purpose, understanding your scope, setting those boundaries, detailing the functional requirements, it can bring tremendous clarity to almost anything.
So what does this all mean for you listening? Well, next time you embark on any project, big or small, maybe consciously try outlining its purpose. Why exactly are you doing this? What's its scope? What will it include? What are the deliverables? What are its boundaries, just as important? What will it explicitly not include? And finally, what are the functional requirements? How will it actually work? What are the inputs, processes, outputs? You might just find that putting in that clarity at the outset saves you a huge amount of time, effort, and frustration down the line.
Yeah, think about even a simple task like, say, organizing your digital photos.
Yeah.
What's the purpose? Is it just to free up disk space? or make them easier to find,
mm-hmm.
or curate a specific album. What's the scope? Are you tackling just last year's photos or your entire massive digital archive?
Mm-hmm.
What are the boundaries? Are you going to delete older blurry files or just organize everything into new folders?
Yeah.
Will you do any retouching? And what are the functional requirements? Maybe specific naming conventions like YYYYMMBADDVENT, creating chronological folders, tagging faces. Applying this framework, even informally, can be incredibly powerful for almost any endeavor you undertake.
That's a fantastic thought to leave everyone with. Thanks so much for joining us for this deep dive. Until next time, keep digging for those insights.